In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, today we celebrate our Feast of Title, the Feast of the Transfiguration. And what an honor and pleasure it is to have as our celebrant today our beloved Rector Emeritus, Bishop Andrew St. John. Bishop, you have preached many a sermon from this very pulpit on the story of the Transfiguration. You have celebrated many a Feast of Title before this altar, as you will be doing today, and I would imagine that you have never tired of it, because the story of the Transfiguration is one of the most beautiful, important stories of the Bible. It is a miracle that attests to the divinity of Christ, and it is a miracle story that has drawn the hearts of countless souls throughout the centuries to the love of God. My brothers and sisters, this morning is our heart's turn to be drawn to the love of God through the story of the Transfiguration. Let me just say a word or two, begin with, about the mountain itself, as depicted on the cover of your bulletin. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the second epistle of Peter, that speak of the Transfiguration, the mountain is never named, but tradition from the earliest times has designated the mountain Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is a mountain 6 miles east, southeast of Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus, 12 miles west, southwest of the south side of the Sea of Galilee. As you can see, it has very steep sides, a dome-shaped summit, and the isolation of the mountain, combination with the steep sides and summit, give it a majestic view, such as been often compared to much more glorious mountains, such as Mount Carmel and Mount Hermon. The strength of the designation comes from the year 326, when the very aged Helena, the mother of the Emperor Constantine, visited the Holy Land and dedicated a church on the summit of Tabor, dedicated to the Transfiguration, to Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. And from that time until now, there have been churches, monasteries, and shrines built, torn down, and built again to say, this was the place. I have never been to the Holy Land. And there is talk and vision that perhaps in time and near future, maybe there might be a pilgrimage from this parish. But it has always been my dream to stand on the foot, on the summit of Mount Tabor, and to participate in a Mass there. But if we never go, if we never stand foot on that mountain, we are to know that we are standing on it today, because the sacrament of the Eucharist is the sacrament of Transfiguration. Holy Mass is our hour on Mount Tabor every Sunday. And the desire of this sermon is to say how this is so. We have to first say, what did this miracle mean to the people who were there? To Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of Jesus, the leaders of the apostles. Now, we will never know what physically, scientifically happened on that day. But what we do know is that Peter, James, and John never forgot it. They were never the same. They were changed forever. And the second epistle of Peter that was read today, it is attributed to Peter as an old man about to die. He was still talking about it. He said, we were on the mountain. I heard the voice. We were there. That experience informed and changed and kept company with the apostles for all of their lives. And they look back on that experience much like we look back on our experiences with God. We look back on the experience, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's like a time-release capsule. The experiences of God continue to inform us and form us through the decades of our life. And it did so for Peter, James, and John to the day they died. Perhaps it has been guessed that they were given this gift because at the time of the Transfiguration, the shadow of the cross was beginning to loom for Jesus. He predicted his first suffering predictions. Perhaps he lifted the veil of his humanity just for a moment, that they might see his divinity, to nerve their arm and the state of their feet with the humiliation and the horror of the difficult days of crucifixion to come, that their faith might not be shattered. But again, whatever it was, Peter, James, and John treasured and cherished and held close that experience until their dying day. The Transfiguration wasn't just for Peter, James, and John. It is for you and for me, because Holy Mass is our hour on Mount Tabor every Sunday. And we approach this hour, we approach the altar of God, our Mount Tabor. And the same way that Peter, James, and John approached that mountain that day, their feet brought them to the summit. And with their feet came their souls, and their souls were not perfect. Through the habit and condition of our feet, we come to Mass every Sunday. And our feet don't always bring perfect souls, do they? But we come, as the hymn says, just as we are. And then we are told, and I've always been fascinated with this, that Peter, James, and John will weigh down in sleep on Mount Tabor. They were in the physical presence of the Son of God, the very presence of Jesus Christ. What most of us would give for 10 seconds in the physical presence of Jesus. And they fell asleep. Was it boredom? Was it distraction? Was it weirdness? We don't know. But I think if we can look at that story, have a little more compassion for us when we have a wandering of mind or a distraction during Holy Mass. We're only human, like Peter, James, and John. And also what the wearied down in sleep bit teaches us, that the gift given to them, the transfiguration, thankfully did not depend on their perfection. It depended upon just the love of Jesus and God for them. And they were given this great miracle. And for you and for me, we come not very perfect before the altar of God, but the miracle of Eucharist doesn't depend on our perfection, but on the love of God. And what happens to us is what happened to them on Mount Tabor. During the Eucharistic prayer, that thin membrane between heaven and earth, that thin membrane disappears at the epiclesis of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And we claim that the very divinity of God, the presence of Christ, touches our tongues, consume. And we walk down from the steps of the altar as Peter, James, and John walk down from the mountain, Mount Tabor. Still not perfect people, but never quite the same. Changed forever. And they went back to just an ordinary, imperfect world such as we do. We leave Mount Tabor today to go back to a world of El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, and killings and unfairness and hunger and children and immigrants who hurt and people in the face of hunger, fear. And we have to believe that there is a link between our Mount Tabor and how we are mindful and how we respond to these things, how we vote, how we spend our money, how we use our activity to minister to hurting in the evil in this world. Peter, James, and John might not ever be, were able always to see the physical link between Mount Tabor and how they minister. We might always not see the physical link between Holy Mass, our Mount Tabor, and how we respond to a hurting world. But it's there, and it's promised. And we, like Peter, James, and John, will look back, hopefully, at Holy Mass every week as we come back, knowing that we are not made into perfection. But we leave somewhat changed. And as the decades go by, this Mount Tabor hour informs us more and more into the image of Christ. And with Peter, James, and John, may we treasure the Holy Eucharist, cherish the Holy Eucharist, and hold it close to our dying day. And let the very presence of the divinity of Christ do its work in us. This is the promise of the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we might not as much. But again, the miracle of Eucharist doesn't always depend on our belief, but upon the promise of God. And that is the promise of the Eucharist. My brothers and sisters, that is the story of Christianity. Amen.
Amen.